What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We are at Fenway Park, and it is day number two of the 23rd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radiothon. And joining us now this morning, Emily Bailey and Mia McDonough, who are both nurses at the Jimmy Fund Clinic. Thanks for being here this morning, guys.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for doing the Lord's work. I could never do that job. I am all kind, whether it's taking blood or any of the rest of that stuff, I can't handle it. So, very impressive what you guys do. And I know for those who are listening this morning and who are thinking about making a donation, how, when you guys are going to work every day and helping those who are fighting against this horrible disease, what do you see when it comes to the donations and how it affects those who are doing, participating in that fight?
I think it's the resiliency of the kiddos. I mean, every single day they come, they're just so happy, but they have taught us so many lessons about everything. I think one thing that comes to mind, we've shared a patient together, and he comes every Wednesday. And from the first time that he came into clinic, he was terrified to be there, didn't want anything to do with us. And then now he only has a few more cycles of chemo left. He's almost done with treatment. And he comes in with the biggest smile on his face, is always giving us hugs, and he's so inspiring to the other kids and just telling them, you can do it because I did it. So I think that has been really an inspiring kiddo that we've shared together.
It's always kind of like interesting because when you're talking about young kids, you know, their minds are not developed in the sense of really understand what's going on. Do they come in with the mindset like the first time as like, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it? And do you feel that? And when you have a kid like that, how do you try to, get them to see that, you know, it will be all right?
I think what's amazing about the kids at the Jimmy Fund is they come in with the only mindset that they have is that they're going to enjoy their day and they're going to fight. They don't know another option. They mm-hmm. come in. It's a place that they're comfortable. It's a place that they trust their providers. They trust that their child life specialists are going to make their day as fun as possible. And they know that their parents are going to be next to them or their family members throughout the entire day holding their hand. And so even when there are moments that are really, really hard, you will see kids smiling through things that you can't imagine smiling through. And I think that's a source of strength for us as providers. We take our lead from them and they come in ready to fight. And we've seen kids come in facing a mountain that you can't even picture and then coming out on the other side of it and celebrating on their way out the door.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that makes the Jimmy Fund Clinic, makes Dana-Farber different, is the amount of effort and the amount of time that is put in to trying to find ways to make this awful and scary experience fun when you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I'm sure you guys get to see that every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to joke, Opry, one of our coworkers, I will say, is the therapy dog that works along with a child life specialist, Kate. She is everyone's favorite part of the Jimmy Fund Clinic, and I think even seeing her walk around the corner and seeing all of the kids' faces light up, that's something that you won't find anywhere else in the world. And it just creates such a magical environment that even though they're facing something very intimidating, there are things at the Jimmy Fund that they get to look to that help them get through their day.
Something that's so crazy to me is nurse after nurse, doctor after doctor that we speak with, you two in particular, you are so cheery. And the bedside manner that you guys must have with these patients as they're going through it, is that something that's taught when you join Dana-Farber, when you join the Jimmy Fund? Or are they just picking the best of the best nurses and doctors to deal with these patients? Because it's so heartwarming to me, because if I ever found myself in a terrible situation like this, you are the people that I would want to spend the time with.
I think it's the motivation behind everything. I think it's getting up, knowing, like seeing and just interacting with the kids. They make us smile so much, and just knowing I just have a small part of their story, I think is so encouraging to me, and knowing that I'm going to do everything that I can to make this as seamless a process as possible. So I think it's the motivation behind knowing who they are and just having a little part of the story with them.
There's a million places that you could be a nurse, and you guys are obviously intelligent and could have options to do this many places. Pediatric oncology is just saying it, understanding it, listening to these stories from afar is difficult. How do you guys process this, and how do you guys enter this world? Well, I guess, why did you choose it? Thank you for choosing it. And how do you manage all of those emotions every day?
Well, Dana-Farber is an organization very close to my heart. My Nana and my uncle were both treated there. I grew up right outside of Boston. So I grew up around the Jimmy Fund, always knowing of it. The Jimmy Fund walk that's every fall, I was pushed in a stroller before I could actually walk myself. So it's something that I've always been around. And I've always associated Dana-Farber with being a place that treated my family like their own. And so getting to now be a part of it on the other side as a provider, it's a really tiny way that I can give back to a place that gave my family so much. And I'm just grateful every day that I get to go there and be a small portion of every patient's story that walks through the door.
Well, that's awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for what you do.
Yeah, good
and
job.
Thanks for coming by. And when for those who are listening, tell them why they should give right now.
I would say it's, I mean, the work that's done with these kids is incredible, and just the amount of research that goes into the treatment that each one of them gets is truly breathtaking. So I think just going forward for just the purpose of cancer would be an amazing reason.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for getting up early, or maybe you're normally up.
Headed to work now.
All right, good. Well, if you need anything while you're over there, call us.
Sounds good.
We don't know much, but we'll try to help. All right, Emily Bailey and Mia McDonough and Shime, let's get to They Said It.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It is brought to you by Catch's Law, and they are honoring those who helped to build this incredible city, whether they drive or whether they construct or whether they care for others like Emily and Mia. Please nominate somebody when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. Shime, where do you want to start today?
Well, Greg, let's begin with that. The Red Sox disappointing loss last night to the Baltimore Orioles. Jordan Hicks came in, gave up, you know, another two earned runs because the bullpen is struggling.
That's what he does?
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what he does.
Why is he still on this baseball team?
I have no idea.
Question.
Cora said he wants to work with him.
He wants to work with him. Well, you know, he's a guy, every chance he gets, they will tell you that he's a guy they've been trying to get for a while.
Yeah.
So
because he goes 100 miles an hour.
Well, we can hear from Alex Cora on Jordan Hicks.
Again, he didn't finish the slider. Foul tip with two strikes, and then a fastball up that the guy got to it. So, you know, we got to continue to work with him. We're not going to give up. Yeah, I mean, but this is who we are. This is the roster that we have, and that's our job. You know, keep grinding with them. You know, we're not going to give up, you know. And it's going to take more than the 26 guys that are here. We know that. There's people on the roster or off the roster that probably they're going to contribute. But right now, you know, we're doing everything possible to help them out, all of them.
Okay, well, it's going to take more than the roster that we have right now. So I guess that means phone call to Worcester or wherever else you're going to get a little bit of help, Curtis.
Right. I would just say it's pretty clear it's not working. You know, maybe next year, maybe after, you know, Andrew Bailey, the most brilliant pitching coach in America, really sinks his teeth into him. But right now it's not working.
Meaning when it comes to the bullpen.
Right. You just need to figure this out. It's not – I don't know. He's right. The roster is they're not going to be able to add anybody. The trade deadline's passed. Outside of guys that are released on waivers, you're not going to have an influx of new talent. But I don't know what the answer is right now. The sixth to the ninth.
Yeah.
So you say you have Chapman in the ninth is a question mark.
Yeah. All right. What's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, let's bop over to the New England Patriots. We've talked a lot about the Elliott Wolf comments. Let's hear from Elliott Wolf when asked about if he'd be willing to trade a first or second round pick. Here was Elliott Wolf yesterday.
Would you be willing to give up in a trade a second or maybe even a first round pick to make your team better this year?
Sure. Yep. Just doing what's best for the team. If there's a player out there that we feel like can help us, then, you know, and it costs that, then we would consider doing that.
That's cap. Because there have been plenty of players out there who have gotten traded. DK Metcalf. Did DK Metcalf even go for a first-round pick? I don't think he did.
It was a second-round pick.
Yeah. There's been George Pickens who's moved. There's been plenty of guys that have been available for you to trade a first- or second-round pick. I don't, really understand the purpose in saying it now, because now we're going to be like, anybody who watches preseason or hears the reports that are coming out of there say, all right, this team needs help, especially on the offensive side of the football. Well, if you're willing to trade these picks, then why are you not doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I it sounds like, and we talked about this earlier with regard to Shime's lead. I think that this is the same old kind of story where you're aggressively talking about how you want to do deals and then you're unable to get a deal done, I guess.
I don't know how you got here with this offensive line and skill position guys. Like, I just don't. It's embarrassing that you have this amount of money to spend. You have this surplus of cash on hand. And you are unable to at all.
Well, I mean, I think they felt like they did the Diggs deal, and that was splashy enough.
Well, I mean, it was splashy, but even in the offensive line, David Andrews had an interesting post over the weekend because Bradbury played poor at center for the Patriots in their preseason game in Minnesota. And somebody said, oh, I wish Dave Andrews came out of retirement. And he replied saying, I guess we'll never know,
right.
Which to me means – He would have gone through with the rehab and tried it, but the team said don't.
He said he would have.
He didn't want to retire.
Yeah.
But David Andrews, if he's 80%,
right,
is better than anybody they have on this roster.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I say I don't know what Vrabel and Elliott Wolf are doing, right? Because even if you're Vrabel and you go, all right, well, if David Andrews willing to come back and play, he wants to play. Let's see where he is. He's a veteran, and if he's still got it, good. He's just going to be somebody that we can plug in there.
Didn't they give him the option if he wanted to retire or they were going to release him? Like, I thought that the Patriots had a conversation with David Andrews where he basically said, no, I'm going to retire a Patriot. So if you're going to try to put me on the chopping block, then I'd rather just retire.
Well, he wanted to play, but they were like, well.
But he wanted to play with the Patriots.
Yeah, they were like,
I don't think that was the only. I don't think he said he only would be a Patriot or retire.
I think that's what at the end it was.
Oh, I don't. I don't know exactly
what was said, but I know that he. I mean, he's doing media stuff here now, so I think he probably figured I'd rather just stay where I am and go forward. But if, there's a lot of guys, you know, take them or leave them. But what would the downside have been? You could still have Bradbury here. David Andrews is someone that people should emulate. Like, he's the opposite of a character issue. If he was able to just try and come back and it doesn't work, oh well. Like, what? I just, such a weird end to his career.
And they didn't add, the Steph Diggs, okay, I get that part of it, but where is the comparison to Steph Diggs as an offensive wide receiver at the offensive line position, right?
They brought in Morgan Moses, who we don't even know if he's going to play week one, which means you might start three rookies on the offensive line in week one.
So my thing is like, all right, maybe you don't have to go after the elite offensive lineman that might be out there, but where is the, like, that, you know, 1B, 2 player that you go, all right, this guy, we've seen him play. He started in the NFL before, and we know he's a good player.
We talked about it earlier. I think they were banking on – they were going to use that pick for Will Campbell, and they were banking on – if they're going to use that pick for an offensive lineman, then it better be – they're banking on him being –
all right.
Legit.
All right. I get what you're saying there then. And you know, the jury's still out, even though we look and we go, all right, he's had an up and down type of season. The jury's still out. But if at the end of the year we're sitting here and going, damn, Will Campbell wasn't very good at left tackle, then we obviously go back and go, you guys – so far looks like
done
you missed
pretty well, though. I mean, you really.
I don't know. I don't know because there's multiple reports. If you have the Minnesota,
the multiple reports come from those who were yelling and screaming about his arm length all season or all pre-draft and want to prove that they were correct
right.
about that.
Here's the thing, though. Travion Henderson, everything from what we hear and what we've seen, he's been good.
The package.
Right?
Been
the
awesome.
Package. But when we think about Will Campbell, there were just reports in the...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Joint practice with Minnesota that he struggled. Now, in the game, it's hard to tell because if you're only getting three pass attempts, how can we really determine where you are as a pass blocker when you're only throwing the ball three times? The game prior to that, you had a couple issues in pass protection, and then again, it was only, you know, three, four, five pass attempts, but one of them pass attempts led to a fumble that you were part of. So I just feel like...
I mean, he's given up one sack, and it wasn't even his fault. I mean,
they were saying in joint practice that he was giving up sacks.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in-game.
In-game is four plays. Yeah. If you throw the ball four plays, that you can't really get a good determination on...
I don't care that much about training camp. I just don't.
But even if the Patriots planned on drafting Will Campbell all along and starting him at left tackle, wouldn't you feel more confident if they had also traded a fourth-round pick for Joe Tooney and brought him back so that you have a legitimate good offensive lineman next to your young rookie instead of putting Cole Strange or a rookie who has since surpassed him or possibly an undrafted guy who was playing center for you last year next to your rookie left tackle?
I mean, Cole Strange is a first-round pick.
He sucks.
He sure does. But I think the best analogy, and it's crossing sports, but the Red Sox traded for Crochet.
Right.
He was as close to as a no-doubter as you could get.
Right.
The Patriots don't do that. They don't extend themselves to get guys that are no-doubt successes, especially on offense. Like,
and I don't know why you didn't when you are sitting on $59 million when it comes to cap room.
Right. Well, inflation.
Inflation.
We've always had a situation where we spend to the cap.
Yeah. Well, we could ask someone about that at 8:30.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, I want to finish off with one about the Jimmy Fund. Jeremy Swayman was, as you pointed out earlier, around the around Fenway Park yesterday. He joined Nesson and was asked about why it's so important being an athlete in Boston to be a part of the Jimmy Fund. Here was Jeremy Swayman.
It's hard to find a place to begin. It's a hotbed. You know, we're so lucky to be here in Boston as athletes, and what we're exposed to, obviously the incredible passion of the fan base. It's more than just hockey to them. It's a lifestyle, and you're hearing all these incredible generations of fans, and you know what it means to put on the Spoke B and what you're representing. It's an incredible hotbed for medical. Been able to be a part of, you know, many groups that come in and come into the Children's Hospital, all these different incredible hospitals that are helping so many people. And you know what goes into the behind the scenes and what kind of impact that they're making. So that's something that I've really worn on my sweater, is the pride of being a Bostonian and how we can impact our community better, because they've given so much to us as athletes, and the things that we can do to help them in little ways like this is truly a priority.
All right. Well said. Need a bounce back from that guy this season.
Yep.
He got paid, Wiggy.
Yeah,
so
he's your guy.
We need a bounce back.
And a hotbed for business schools, too, around the area for Jeremy Swayman.
Yeah.
All right. That is, they said it, quick back and forth on what they said in sports. It's day number two of the 23rd annual Jimmy Fund Nesson WEEI Radio Telethon. We are at Fenway Park, and we'll be right back.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.